You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Hello, I'm Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and welcome to another edition or installment of Monday Morning Live, the podcast and the Facebook live stream. So welcome. Today I'm joined by two guests. First, we're going to start off with Chris Hackbarth, our Director of State and Federal Affairs in our Lansing office. And I do want to remind people to post their questions and comments in the comments field. If you post them during this airing, we'll answer them as on the fly. If you post them after we're already aired live, we'll be sure to respond to you as soon as we can on Facebook. And also, if you have ideas on topics you would like us to cover in future episodes, feel free to post those on there as well. So, welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely, Matt. This is the Arnold Schwarzenegger edition. I'll be back.
Yes. So, yeah, let's pretend that I've been gone for the last month. And I missed everything that's happening. So fill me in 20 seconds or less as far as what's going on in Lansing with the governor. I hear there's stuff back and forth about the road thing. Let's talk about that.
So it's been kind of weird in Lansing. A lot of crickets until this last week.
They came back from their recess or in district, correct. Whatever they call it.
Right. Okay. So they're back in town. They started session. We started to see some bills getting introduced. Just a little bit of committee activity, not a bunch yet. You saw a lot of back and forth between the governor and the two leaders, Senate Majority Leader and the Speaker in the House, and even some conversations from the minority leaders, the Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate. A lot of discussions on the roads and budget. The governor, you may have heard, prep the state employees for a potential shutdown. Again, the new fiscal year for the budget starts October 1st.
Really?
So there's no budget in place.
They might not have a budget by then.
We'll have a budget by then.
Okay.
I think you saw the leaders say there's no reason not to have a budget by then. The governor, though, has really built this budget tied around roads. And everything in the budget is connected to what happens with a road deal and new revenue for roads.
Okay.
So they're so intertwined, how are they going to do it? So you saw, the governor for most of the year has had the 45-cent gas tax
right
out there.
Right.
This last week, you saw the Senate Majority Leader and the Speaker kind of went in, met with the governor, and put a buffet table, I guess you'd say, in front of the governor. Here's the different ideas that we've got. Let's walk through these and see what we can build out of these.
Yeah.
Pretty much all summer we've been hearing about this getting rid of the sales tax at the pump,
okay,
and having everything paid at the pump go right into roads.
Right. There's a big concern from us for that because
that impact. If you reduce the amount of sales tax revenue, that reduces constitutional revenue sharing.
Ah.
So we've been working really hard on, okay.
And that's money that goes to our cities.
Right. So, but the road money also goes to our cities as well. So, all right, if we're going to make that policy move, which I think a lot of people believe is, hey, what you pay at the pump should go into roads.
Makes sense. But if that money's already going somewhere else, you got to compensate.
You got to make that up. Yeah. So the House, when they did their budget back before they left for the summer break, they did backfill that money, $81-ish million, into revenue sharing. But it was just kind of a one-time budget line item that you'd have to come back and fight every year. So we've been working on how do you secure those dollars if they're going to make that move? What can we do to make that backfill more secure so it's not an annual budget fight.
Yeah. Is the governor opposed to that outright, or she?
I think she's considering that one. I think that one, again, the Senate Majority Leader said that's going to be on the table. The Speaker's made that a priority. I think the governor sees that as one of the items that gets a chunk of money. I think it's worth about roughly 15 cents in equivalent gas tax increase that would happen. So, there's a part of that gas tax road funding proposal that happens that way.
Yeah. Is there anything they agree on as far as, do they agree that a $2.5 billion is needed, which is what the governor has said, or they don't even agree on that?
Boy, that's not clear. I think, certainly we as an organization have agreed. You've got a lot of groups out there that are saying, the $2.5 billion is a needed amount.
Yeah.
I think you're now in the political fight of how much. I don't think there's people who are disagreeing that $2.5 billion is needed. It's where do you get it from, and how far can can they get the votes to go that far? Is it a billion? Is it a billion and a half? Is it a billion eight? Is it two? You know, I think that a lot of the conversation taking place between the leaders is how far can they get within each of their caucuses?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that happened last week, you saw the House Democratic leader basically tell the governor and tell the media, you know, 45 cents is dead on arrival.
Wow.
So
it's kind of bold.
Right. So that then, you know, now the governor has to, you know, I think the governor's lost a little bit of that leverage. So that'll be an interesting conversation.
She didn't have her own party backing her on it.
Right. So what are the options to get there? You know, the House Dems have put their own proposal out, you know, that I think the House Republicans would say is done on arrival. Yeah. So you've got a lot of different things going on and people trying to come up with some, and the amount of time left to do that is
running out.
Yeah.
I think people are frustrated probably a little bit because the governor proposed this back in January. Here it is nine months later, and you don't feel like we're any further along than we were then.
I mean, I think there is. I think we feel some momentum. Again, you've got both leaders, both Republican caucuses, coming to the table with revenue mm-hmm. on the table for the governor. It's how much okay. are they going to do and what can the governor agree to? One of the things that's a big sticking point right now is one of the plans on the table deals with the bonding for the public school employees retirement system.
Yes.
So does the state bond out the unfunded liability and use those savings to put into, again, to handle the sales tax shift away from schools, because again, once you shift sales tax off at the pump, it's not just constitutional revenue sharing, it's also right. school aid
school
dollars.
Aid dollars yeah.
So, except there's some maneuvering going on
right.
there.
And the schools kind of feel like they're very, I think, concerned, because one, if you take money away from the gas at the gas pump, that's money they could lose. But also, they're talking about taking money from the pension fund or as a loan or something, and that could affect them as well, maybe?
I think their concern is if you use the savings from that, from bonding, to backfill them. Again, they'll have all the same amount of money.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's a lot of hot rhetoric going on. I don't know. Again, for our communities, our folks use pension bonding all the time.
Oh.
Not all the time, but it is a common tool used with some communities to manage their pension or OPEB liability.
Right.
We've seen some of our folks do it, and it's a very necessary tool. So from our organization's standpoint, it's a tool that's used and can be a very effective tool.
Okay. All right. One of the big things we're coming up, and I'm going to talk more in a few minutes with our next guest, but I just want to touch with you a little bit, is our convention's coming up. It's this month. It's September 25th through the 27th. And you guys have a pretty active role mm-hmm. As a state and legislative affairs team. Tell us some of the things you guys are going to be doing at our convention.
Well, sure. So we'll have our whole team there. Obviously, all the league staff participating yeah. and working on the different sessions that are out there. But we have folks who have been helping, some of my team have been helping get speakers for some of the sessions we've got going. We will obviously have our legislative update that takes place. I think it's on the Thursday.
Okay.
So hopefully by the end of September, we'll have a lot more information.
But that's also
a budget.
It's a really good time for our members if they want one-on-one time with you guys.
Absolutely.
Grab you in the hallway or the concourse or wherever it may be and, mm-hmm. and talk to you about whatever issues they have that are most on their mind.
Absolutely. You know, I think when you look, you know, for some of the other action going on, one of the things that I know our team's tracking, a new bill was introduced, something that had died out in lame duck, but is a mining preemption, gravel preemption issue from the Thumb area. Lapeer County is where this is generated. And you've got a community that already has three existing aggregate mines.
Okay.
I think it's a fourth mine that's proposed. And the owners of the mine want to run all their trucks through the community's downtown.
Oh.
And the community has said, that's pushing it too much. Here's an alternate route. And the mine owners don't want to follow the alternate route. Mm. They just want to come to the legislature and have our
Pass
communities
a lot,
preempted.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't regulate traffic? Is that what they want
to
say?
It's not. It's more important to have these aggregates because now they're trying to tie it into the road funding debate. Well, we don't have enough aggregates in the state if we don't do this for all the road funding we need, all the road building we need to do. So things are getting meshed together. We basically say bunk to that argument.
Yeah.
And again, the community has won in court for years on this issue. And so we'd be very concerned if that bill were to move.
Okay, interesting. Well, good. Well, thank you, Chris, for joining us. Anything else to add on things happening?
No, just remind folks to subscribe to our Inside 208 blog, especially, again, now that the legislature's back in session. As things start to occur, we'll be posting more and more on the latest activity and the latest bill movement, and that's the best way to keep in touch with us, too, to find out when we need to engage members to assist us.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, Chris, for joining us. So we'll make a guest switch here, and while they're doing that, I will just kind of, you know, the convention is something that, you know, this will be my 9th or 10th, I think, now, and I'm really excited about it. Anytime we go to Detroit, particularly, it's an exciting time because Detroit is so many things, so many exciting things are happening and taking place there that it's really important that our members kind of see it firsthand, particularly if they don't get to Detroit very often. It's the last time we were in Detroit, I think, was 4 years ago. And even since then, so many more things have happened and so many new projects and developments are taking place there. So I am now joined by, to talk about our convention, by Katie Jones, our events manager. Is that your right title?
Yes, that's the title.
She's been with the Michigan Municipal League for how many, almost a year?
Like 9 months.
Nine months.
You know, we're closing in on a year.
Time flies. Well, thank you for joining me. I know you're a first-time guest here on Monday Morning Live, so I appreciate you joining me today. We're here to talk a little bit about convention. And it is, like I said earlier, September 25th, the 27th. But we actually have some things happening before that, right? On that Tuesday, we have some stuff happening. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So in Detroit on the 24th, that night before, we do have an early arrival activity at Comerica Park. The Tigers are playing the Twins at 6:40.
Okay.
There are still spots available. We've bought a block of tickets for our group, and they can come and watch Tigers game.
And I heard Tiger tickets are really hard to get this time.
They are, and we had to reserve them very early.
Yes. So, as we know, the Tigers are not doing that well, but going to the game is always an experience. It's always fun. You get your hot dog. You get to see that. They always have cool things happening in between the innings. You can watch the screens.
Sure, and walking distance of downtown, so you can certainly, you know, stop in a restaurant and that kind of thing, see some of the tailgates that are happening and that sort of thing.
I got chosen one time to go on the, during one of the innings, to go on the screen with the reporter, and they had these trivia questions.
Okay.
And what it was is they had this ball that was going back and forth and back and forth, and I couldn't follow the ball. So I just listened to the crowd. They tell me which one. They're like, pick three. So I picked three, and I won. I won Bell Tire.
Awesome.
Gift certificate.
See, there you go.
So that's good. A little plug for Bell Tire. There too. So that really things kind of get underway on that Wednesday, the 25th. Tell us about what that day looks like and what some of the things happen in that.
Yeah, so on Wednesday we will have our new workers' compensation fund and liability property pool.
Okay.
And they're hosting a unique risk management track. And so we're going to have somebody that's going to come and he's going to speak at 10 a.m. and it's going to be on why organizational and employee well-being are critical to your community.
Cool. Okay.
And so, you know, talking about making sure that workplaces are taking care of their people and that kind of thing and what you can do that.
Right. And obviously, risk management, insurance aren't the most exciting topics, but I think we have a pretty engaging speaker that I think people will really relate to.
We do, yeah. And, that's going to be a track throughout convention also. So there's going to be some breakouts later on. I think they're going to do a distracted driving one. So other topics that, you know, that are a little more interesting than what you would consider risk management.
Sure. So that's in the morning of that Wednesday. So that afternoon, we really have the general session. Things kick off.
Exactly.
What are some of the features we have then?
So we'll also have mobile tours that morning.
Oh. Okay.
And so we'll have four mobile tours offered.
Well, let's talk about those a little bit. That's fine. So the mobile tours is basically people get to go out, we put them on buses, and we send them all different parts of Detroit and see different things.
Exactly.
What are some of the activities?
That's an add-on to the convention. So they can do that while they're doing the registration. But there's a Detroit neighborhoods tour option. There is green spaces and urban places along the Riverwalk.
Okay.
There is also a Detroit city football club tour, and then there's also Explore Detroit, and they're going to look at revitalized and rehab buildings throughout downtown.
Okay.
So,
and a lot of our staff are leading those and taking them through the different things.
Yep.
The green spaces one is happening at the Riverwalk.
Yes.
Which I remember going down to the Detroit Riverfront years ago when I was a kid, and you go by the Renaissance Center, which I don't know if it's called that now, but anyways, they had big walls where all the utilities and stuff were, and you couldn't even see the building. Now they've taken the walls down, they've opened it up, and the Riverwalk itself was a bunch of gravel parking lots, and now it's this beautiful trail that goes along the river, and you get people of all different backgrounds and types walking on there. It's really an amazing experience. So this tour will take them in there and kind of show them how they did it.
Exactly, and I think that really bringing some of that greenery and like some of the native plants and species, you know, and how they've redeveloped that. And it's not gravel pits anymore. Right. It's, you know, they've put trees in and different plants and flowers and really made it a beautiful space, you know, where, again, you can walk and go down with the family and that kind of thing. And really have a nice day.
And I think a lot of their work is scalable. So people are like, well, we don't have the Detroit River going through our town. We couldn't do something like that. But you could do parts of it and within your community. I think that's kind of the lessons learned we hope they come away with.
Yeah, hoping that they can, you know, learn how to take areas that might be more manufactured and make them more green spaces and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful part of Detroit.
Yes, I'm definitely.
Our members get to experience that. Now, you also mentioned the Detroit City Football Club. Tell us a little about what that is, and we're doing a couple different things related to that.
Yeah, so we have the mobile tour on Wednesday, and then we also on Thursday evening from 6 to 8, we'll have the foundation fundraiser there.
Michigan Municipal League Foundation.
Yes, the Michigan Municipal League Foundation, and they're calling it the Motor City Friendly at the Detroit Field House.
Cool.
And so there'll be drink tickets, appetizers, card and lawn games that have the fields open. So the space is overlooking two of the soccer fields that they have there.
Oh, wow.
And I believe they'll have some of the soccer players that play downtown Detroit.
Oh, cool.
Also available and playing and practicing and that kind of thing, too.
That'll be a really unique reception.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cool experience and opportunity to see just, you know, some good world-class soccer that's happening, you know, right here in Detroit and, you know, in the area. So that'll be cool.
So talk to a little about some of the keynote speakers that we have and some of the general sessions and some of the big names coming into town.
Sure. So circling back to that opening general session, we'll have Mike Dunn coming and
Mayor of Detroit.
And he'll be welcoming everybody to Detroit. And then he's also going to do a Q&A with the audience. So that'll be a great opportunity. They'll be able to ask questions of him and have kind of a back and forth opportunity.
Oh, good.
Then we'll have our own Dan Gilmartin speaking, and he's going to talk about opportunities in the midst of crisis that afternoon as well. Then that evening, we'll be at the we'll have an opening reception at Beacon Park in Detroit, right in the heart of Detroit, and that's sponsored by TTE. It'll be outside under a tent. There's going to be a live band, so that'll be exciting.
Right.
And just a fun time in downtown Detroit.
And the weather's going to be perfect.
It will be. We've ordered it, and that's going to happen. 75
Dan,
and sunny.
Right. Dan always takes credit. If the weather's good, he says it's him. If it's not, then something else.
Exactly.
Happens.
Yeah.
But, well, it's good. So do we have entertainment plan for that reception and things?
Yeah, there'll be a live band. They're going to do a variety of different music, you know, some Motown classics and pop and, you know, just different things. So it'll be fun.
Okay. I just taped on one of the HBO, they have Hitsville, the History of Motown, that looks interesting. So I'm excited to record that. I think it's recording Friday. So.
Okay, catch that. Yeah, exactly.
So
One of the things that we really tried to do with this convention was bring in some of those fun activities. You know, like the Beacon Park, the welcome reception. We already talked about that Tigers game, you know, and then that night after the welcome reception, we'll do the Foaling in Hamtramck.
Oh.
So.
And what is that? It's bowling.
Foaling is bowling and football.
This is the one we're throwing the axes. We're throwing the footballs.
We're throwing footballs, exactly, yeah. So that'll be another fun activity that people can sign up to go do that evening and hang out. And again, more networking opportunities, getting people out into the city.
Right.
That kind of thing. Those fun things.
We talk about that. We'll get in some of our education.
Sure,
sessions.
We have those too.
Right. But a lot of the in our valuations every year, a lot of the most valuable parts of our conventions and our capital conference in the spring is the networking opportunities, learning from other members, because they can really learn a lot. It's like, oh, you went through that too. How did you handle that? You know, we're thinking about doing this. You know, you've done that. Can you let me know how it went? That kind of stuff.
Making those connections of people that you can call on, you know, when something comes up in your community that, you know, this other community has already gone through and you can gain those experiences and knowledge and wisdom from those folks.
Okay. So you mentioned Mayor Duggan is going to be speaking. What are some of the other speakers we have?
So then Thursday we'll have Gia Ping Lee. She is the program director of Think City, and she's going to be joining us from Malaysia.
Malaysia? So we have a speaker coming in all the way from Malaysia.
Yes, and she will be talking about the power of small, showing communities how they can do a lot with just a little. And, you know, from that ground roots level and making doing big projects with little resources.
Yeah. I believe Dan saw her at some event, our CEO, and he was just totally impressed with her. He's like, we got to bring her here.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what happened?
That is. Yeah.
So that's
exactly
cool.
What happened. And so, so we're really excited about that. She'll also be doing a breakout later on.
Okay. So you could kind of get more of a one-on-one time with her.
Exactly. Yeah. So just a follow-up to that general session. So if you like that general session, go to her breakout and have a chance to hear some more. We also have Brian Barnett coming. He'll be talking about city innovation. Mayor of Rochester.
He's mayor of Rochester Hills, and he's also just got recently named the president. I'm gonna slaughter it, but it's the U.S. Conference of Mayors or U.S. Congress of Mayors or something like that. And this is a national position that he has. head of this national organization. So it's a really big deal that one of our own from Michigan is heading this association. So we want
to... Yeah, and hopefully he'll be able to also give us an update on that organization and from the mayors and what they're doing and that kind of thing from the national level.
That's cool to have him there.
To have that.
And then talk a little bit about some one of the big things we have going on is the Community Excellence Awards.
We do, yeah. So on Thursday during that opening or that 9 a.m. general session, we will have our awards finalists do their presentations. They'll be presenting all their projects, and then voting will open. And so they'll be able to go to the Plant and Moran booth that will be out by registration, vote for which project that they think should be the award winner. Yep. And then on Friday and during the closing general session, we'll announce who the winner is.
That's exciting. So just for background for our watchers here, this program started back in March. We had 17 different communities submit projects. There was an online voting and judging component that narrowed down to the final four. So we're now down to the final four, which involves projects in Bay City, Dearborn, Madison Heights, and the city of Mason. Yes. So they're all going to give presentations. What are they, 5 or 7 minutes at the stage, something like that?
Yep.
And then people vote for... Andy says 7. So 7 minutes. So that's exciting. It's something we've done many years now, and it's a really exciting, inspirational event. So what else we have going on?
You know, one of the other breakouts that we're going to have is going to be Nikki Pardo. She'll be the MME speaker, so the MME colloquium.
The Municipal Executives and the colloquium.
I can't. Colloquium. And she'll be talking about just creating inclusive communities and doing some practices for people to just learn about your biases and being able to like really create communities that are inclusive.
Okay.
We have Mark Wallace, who will also be talking about the Troy's Riverfront and some of those redevelopment efforts.
And that's on the final Friday morning?
That is Friday morning, yep. Okay. He's the president and CEO of the Troy Riverfront Conservancy, so he'll be speaking as well. And then, you know, we have a lot of breakouts, so we've added more breakouts than ever before. There's tracks hosted by all of our different groups, the Michigan Association of Mayors, Michigan Black Caucus of Local Elected Officials.
They all have like their own little events or breakfast or something going on?
Well, they'll all have breakouts that are hosted by them. Topics that they've decided are topics that we want to focus on and that those people that are part of those groups really, really would be interested in.
Okay.
Michigan Municipal Executives, as you said, and then Michigan Women in Municipal Government. So they'll all be hosting different sessions.
Oh, that's great.
Throughout the different times. Yeah. Those breakouts get started on Thursday morning and then run through Friday morning.
Right. I know. I might as well plug my two. I'm helping on one on social media.
Yep.
And one on civil discourse.
Yes.
And those are coming shaping up okay?
Yeah. They've been coming along as you've been gone. And
I've been gone.
We're all set. And we're getting moderators for them and everything. So, okay, yep, they're set.
All right. Good. Anything else you want to mention about convention or any other events we have coming up?
You know, the one important thing is that we are extending our early bird rate through September 9th, so people can get that $4.49 rate through September 9th.
Oh, that's good to know. And so we had it, I think it was last week sometime, and we just decided to extend another week, give
people
week, more
give
time.
A chance to get in and be able to register for it.
So and what about our hotels? What should, there's a...
Yeah, so we're encouraging people. We have rooms still available at the Courtyard Marriott.
Okay.
So they should definitely go onto the website, follow that link, the Courtyard Marriott, and sign up. Really, through the end of today, they can get that block rate.
Oh, they get a special rate.
Today's special. It's important to get that in.
After today, they can still rate might be higher.
Yeah, the rate might get higher on the Courtyard Marriott. Again, we can't control that one. So that's after today, it will raise. But again, our early bird rate for registration will be through September 9th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Good. Well, Katie, I appreciate you joining us here Monday Morning Live. And feel free, even if you're watching this after it's aired live, to post your questions in the comments area below, and we'll respond to you as soon as we can. Our next Monday Morning Live returns to Monday. Today was obviously a special Tuesday edition due to yesterday being Labor Day holiday. So our next Monday Morning Live will be Monday, September 16th at 10:30 a.m. So until then, thank you for joining us here on Michigan Municipal League's Facebook page and podcast.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.